New Zealand is known for its cold homes, and as winter bites, calls are growing for more support for those who can't keep warm. Charities say more and more people are struggling to pay their power bills, and the winter energy payment and cost of living payment are falling short. Louise Tanuth reports.
Many people are bracing for their next power bill, some still recovering from last month.
I know for a number of people, last month's power bill was bigger than they expected, and they're now expecting something bigger this month. Things seem to have multiplied quicker than in previous years.
That's Chair of the Manawatū Budgeting Service, Les Boyd. He's seeing many people living alone asking for help, but Les says there's another storm brewing. Families yet to come forward. Low user plans being scrapped, costs going up, and more heaters on with the cold weather are all behind hefty bills. The first cost of living payment of about $116 will be rolled out at the start of August, with another in September and October. Les Boyd says it should have been earlier.
It really needed to, even if it came in at the end of June, it would be much more useful, because I think it's now where people are starting to hit the wall.
For some people, the winter energy payment may apply, which is about $127 a month for a couple with dependent children. But a University of Otago study showed heating one Wellington child's bedroom for a month would eat through almost half the payment.
So unfortunately, what that probably means is that they could be trying to save money, but then ending up with sort of worse respiratory health because of that. We either pay in increased hospitalisations and, you know, GP visits, or we try and help people stay healthy.
Researcher Dr. Caroline Shorter says energy poverty is a significant factor in our winter mortality rates. The colder months are behind about 1,600 deaths and more than 7,000 hospitalisations a year. She says the winter energy payment should be scaled for how many children live in a household.
We know that that sort of first 1,000 days of a child's life is a really important time point. We should be looking to subsidise babies in their first year. If you fixed all the sort of damp, mouldy housing, and damp, mouldy housing in our study was the hardest to heat, if you did that, you could reduce the hospitalisations for under 2-year-olds by almost 20%.
More research from the University of Otago found tertiary students are more than twice as likely than the general population to live in damp, mouldy rental housing. Dr. Kimberly O'Sullivan says students are feeling the effects of inadequate housing.
Students are renting some of the worst rental properties available. Once it's damp and it's mouldy, it's really hard to fix that. Somebody that said that they had gone on to antidepressants, and actually one of the main things that was causing them stress and anxiety was living in a cold environment.
And isolating and recovering from COVID-19 at home is extremely difficult without heating and ventilation.
It is really important to keep your home warm when you are spending greater amounts of time at home. And also for people who are trying to recover from a respiratory illness, you know, we know that being warm and dry is really important for our health and for maintaining our health during those times.
The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment released a definition of energy hardship and wellbeing this month, almost 2 years after they first began working on a definition. National's energy spokesperson Stuart Smith says that's not an acceptable time frame.
Too little, too late. It's taken them over 900 days to come up with 23 words, I think, as a reaction to the pressure we put on them with written questions.
In a written statement, Energy Minister Megan Wood says the government has been tackling energy poverty through their Support for Energy Education program and Warmer Kiwi Homes program. She says work being done by the Energy Hardship Panel is progressing. She says the winter energy payment supports more than 1 million New Zealanders, alongside increases to benefits, superannuation and the minimum wage. She also says the temporary cost of living package will support another 2.1 million low to middle income earners.